Good afternoon and morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here in Arizona. Let's get started. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, 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 oh, he is the King, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Lift
Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I would owe all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher, lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the King. One more time. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the King.
Good morning, everybody. It was funny to me this morning because Philip preached on something that I was going to preach on. And I said to Rick, he stole my sermon. Well, I guess a second witness is a good thing. Yesterday I was watching some video that Rick had taken of Naomi and myself shooting air guns outside. And it was quite an eye-opening thing for me because I don't like watching myself on video and I don't like seeing myself in photos. Maybe it's because it shows the real me. I don't know. But nonetheless, I didn't like it. But I was trying to edit this video, so I had to watch it. And I had to watch it in its entirety. And what struck me was the attitude. You might be expecting me to say from my daughter, but it was my attitude. It was a hot day. I was tired. I did not want to be shooting ends, but Rick needed our help doing a video, or wanted us to be doing a video. I can't remember. So we went outside reluctantly and did the video. Once we were all set up and we were shooting for a while, the attitudes changed because we actually started to enjoy it. But the attitude at the beginning of the video was quite horrific. It's not that I said anything. It's not that I did anything. But I could see the attitude on me and the reluctance, the not wanting to be there, not wanting to partake, not wanting to do what was requested of me. And it made me look inward and look at when my husband asks me to do a thing as simple as make him some lunch. Is that what I look like? Because if it is, you know, I'm one of the first people who will say that a husband will treat a wife how he, you know, a lot of men, let me rephrase, a lot of men will tend to cater to their wives so that they don't have to deal with attitude. And having watched that video, it made me think, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't want to deal with that. I wouldn't want to have to constantly be fighting against attitude every time I ask someone to do something. I mean, I'm delighted that by the end of the video, the attitude was different. But if we are doing things as unto the Lord, then our attitude should start off right. When you step your first foot out of your bed, your attitude should be, yes, Lord. Whether it's to the Lord himself or to those in authority over you, your attitude should be to please them, to do whatever is pleasing to them. There was a lot of talk today about counting the cost. And as a Christian, I didn't count the cost when I became a Christian. Even when I consider myself really becoming a Christian at 26, after being in the church since I was 8, I didn't count the cost. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The other scripture that came to me this morning was Jeremiah 23, verse 33. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Ricky talked last week about changing our attitudes from, I have to do this, I've got to do that, to I am going to, or I will, or changing it from a negative, which I have to, is
a
negative.
It's I have to I get to.
Right. I get to is, it's a blessing to be able to do that. I have to is, it's being forced on me against my will. I'll do it, but I'm not pleased with it. And I've been thinking a lot about that this week. I've actually caught myself several times saying, I've got to go and, nope, I'm going to go and do this. It is a profitable thing to actually seek out your motives, to listen to what you say, to examine your heart, and to go before the Lord and ask him to show you those things that are in you that are, that he doesn't want there. When we lay down our lives and give them up for him, to follow him, you surrender your entire will, your entire opinion, your in everything that was, that you thought so important before, you surrender it. You take on his ways, his life, his will. There was talk this morning about putting off the old man. And I got to thinking about how, you know, for those people out there who may not know, how do you do that? How does somebody, give me an example so that I can know, how do I do that? Well, a simple example is, for me, when my husband says, can we have lunch now? Yes, sir, no problem. go and do the lunch. Not, oh, I was right in the middle of something. Can I just finish that? That's choosing to serve those in authority over you and put them as more important than you. If your natural instinct is to go, and sigh when you're asked to do a thing, or, but can I, or, well, I was going to anyway. Those are all wrong. It needs to be, yes, sir, no problem. Yes, ma'am, no problem. Yes, Lord, no problem. What would you have me do?
If you are someone who has done a little preaching, you will learn a thing if you haven't learned it already. And that is, where is the zipper for this Bible? That's not what you're going to learn. You will learn that what you preach, you will probably very shortly have the opportunity to put into practice. Amen. I would say be careful what you preach, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is that God loves you, and the light that he shines out through you when you preach, it also shines on you when you preach. And that is a good thing because it brings you closer to the Lord if you submit to the light. And if you recognize the light and you see it for what it is and you see it for the love of God and you can see it for God's hand in your life because he loves you, cares about you, or cares for you, I should say, careth for you, so that you yourself are continuously perfected in him. So this week for me has been a lesson in have to versus get to. I find myself often like the story Jesus tells of the guy who had two sons, and he tells the one son, go work in my field. And the guy says, bite me. Not really. He says, I will not go work in your field. But then later he's convicted and he does it. The other son says, sure, I'll do it, and then never does it. You know, I've been the latter son a lot of my life. I'm becoming the first son, which is not really where you want to be. You'd rather be the guy who, when his father or his master or his, you know, one in authority tells him, go do a thing, you say, yes, sir, no problem. And the only way you get to that point is by being given opportunities to do so. And when you see yourself fall short of those opportunities and you look back and say, dang it, you do something that the Bible mentions at least 40 some odd times, and that is repent. I did a little search on the word repent, and I think of repent as something we do. You know, there's a lot of references in the Bible of God repenting or not repenting. I found that interesting. But the core of the word repent means to change. And it's not a minor change. It's an opposite change. I think most Christians today operate in that sort of, and I'm sure you've seen the bloopers on TV where somebody says, boy, they made a 360 degree turn. Which means they're exactly where they started. And I think most Christians are exactly where they started as far as their relationship with the Lord goes. Because before you know Christ, you are alienated from God. And if you are going to some building, punching a time clock, thinking that that's going to garner favor with God, guess what? You are still yet alienated with God or from God. If you are living a life of rules and regulations, thinking that that is somehow going to elevate you and make you more approvable as far as God's concerned, you are yet alienated from God. You haven't changed anything. The word repent means an opposite direction. Before Christ, you served you. After Christ, if you've repented, you serve God. That's what repentance is. So when you find yourself going the wrong direction, you have a choice. You can argue with that. You can justify yourself. You know, they have what the some odd stages of whatever. Well, Christians have their own. it's usually argue, justify, and walk away in their self-justification. Unfortunately, very seldom ever come to the right conclusion, which is just repent. Just repent. Just say, yes, Lord, you are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. How hard is that? How hard is it to just say, I was wrong? You know, in the big scheme of things, all the justifications that people jump through and all the hoops they jump through to try and maintain rightness don't change the fact that they're wrong. Doesn't change that. There's no impact on their wrongness. They're still wrong. But the sooner you can come to that conclusion to say, I am wrong, and admit that, humble yourself, submit therefore to God, then you can move on. See, over in 1 John, which I was preaching out of last week, or I think it was last week, and Philip was there this morning, Charlie was there this morning, it's a great chapter. It says, if we repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, the way out of the wrongness, he's already prepared that way, and it's right there. And the door is just humility. Amen. It's easy. It's so simple. And the only thing that makes it hard is pride. Because pride and humility, whether it's like oil and water, those two things do not mix. They just can't exist in the same space. It's like hot and cold or light and dark. Those two forces are directly opposed to each other. They cannot exist in the same the space. Just can't happen. So you have to put off the pride and put on the humility. And when you do that, guess what, man? Here's the thing, that it says that God resists the proud. Your walk with the Lord, man, let me tell you, if you're in that space of pride, in that space of justification, in that space of trying to maintain your rightness in the face of all the evidence that says otherwise, you are yet living in pride and unbelief, and God's foot is against the very door that has to open for you to see deliverance from it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I want to get the next part right, so I'm going to turn to it. James 4, verse 6. But God giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We've heard a lot this morning. Excuse me. It's hard not to reference all the previous services when you've listened to them. We have the benefit of hearing all of them in the mornings. So those that are hearing this message and haven't maybe heard those messages, go to the website and listen to the, what's today's date? August 9th, 2015. Listen to the services, because they go so well together, and they hold keys. I mean, these beautiful keys and golden nuggets of wisdom for you to be successful in your walk with the Lord. And one of the most critical keys is that act of submission. Not just obedience, submission. You cross that bridge, and your walk with the Lord changes immediately. And your relationship with the Lord takes on a whole new dynamic. You're no longer in opposition. You're not opposing forces. And that's really a key. Because as long as you maintain that sense of I'm right and you're wrong, God, and whether you realize it or not, so many times that's exactly what you're saying. It just boils, you can justify it 16 ways till Sunday, but it all boils down to your saying, I am right, God, you are wrong. And when that is where your heart's at, God stands resisting you. And only one thing removes that resistance. Just one thing. And it's an easy thing. Simple thing. God, I am wrong. You are right. And in the moment you can say that from the heart, the grace of God covers and washes away and redeems. And it's such a simple act. Why do you fight with God? I have watched people I love and care for just struggle because they don't want to surrender that supposed rightness. You're not right. You're not, you're nowhere near right. God is right. Amen. He is right. His word is right. Submit to that. Just give up. Surrender. And let that gift of God's grace fix it. He will redeem all of that. And make it something beautiful. Not only for you right now, but my goodness, if you can understand the grace of God through your own failures, then when you go to minister to other people, you can, from a place of experience, tell them, let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about redemption, not condemnation. And when you have experienced that, then you can give that to somebody else, and you can share that with somebody else, not just words, not just moving your lips and air going across stuff, articulating some sort of sound that, no, that's not it. It actually has depth and meaning and a reality to it. And you bring the gospel. But you will never be able to bring the gospel if you're in the place where you are yet thinking you are right. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Over the past weeks, we've had a lot of really deep instruction and teaching. If you've been listening, the light of God's word has been shining extremely bright into the dark nether regions of our hearts. And things that people want to hide and things that people don't want to deal with and don't want to address, that focus is being put right on them. Bang. And you're given a choice at that time. You can continue going the same direction. You know, free will is like that. You can keep going that way. But only for so long. or you can repent and let the gift of Jesus Christ count for you. Because it will. He took away the sins of all the world. That includes yours. But it only works if you receive it. And to receive it takes repentance. So I ask you today, what are you going to do? I pray for those, for myself, for my family, for those that I have affection for, I pray that they repent. And that we come together in that true body of Christ that's preached about in the Word. That effective body of Jesus Christ under the stature of the fullness of the body of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. And I hope today that's your prayer too.
Set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, oh, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from my clay, you've set my feet upon the rock, now I know. Fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. And now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.